my dad a call, and I try to, you know, try to give him a call at least a few times a week, just to check in with him and see how him and my mom are doing. And you know, I consider myself very blessed and very privileged because I can look back and look on my dad's life and see that example that he set. Not only him, but my grandfather, who just turned 90 years old back in May and is still pastoring full time. Amen. Going back before him, my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather before him were all ministers as well. So I consider myself very blessed, very fortunate. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'll be starting in verse 21. I'm sure a very familiar story to most of you who are here. And when I was trying to put a sermon together for this morning, my original plan was to actually be home this weekend. I haven't been home in a few months, but those plans kind of fell through. And so then I think Pastor Charlie was on the schedule for today, and then when he found out I was going to be here in town, he's like, oh, well, you can do that. That way I've got a little bit more time to get back up to Alexandria. But when I was trying to put together a sermon, you know, there's so many examples of godly fathers in the Bible that you can pick from. Amen. And this one is one that oftentimes kind of gets overlooked, I think, because if you read through Mark chapter 5, and like I said, starting there in verse 21, the story starts, but then there's another story that's kind of plugged in there in the middle that kind of normally takes most people's attention away, and that's, of course, the story of the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And although that's a great story, there's another story that's kind of wrapped around that one that we're going to use this morning. Mark chapter 5, starting verse 21, it says this: "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Verse 25 starts that story of the woman with the issue of blood who had the faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And like I said, although that is such a wonderful story, I'm going to skip on down to verse 35, where the story of Jairus and his daughter picks back up. Verse 35 says this: "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And they took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I pray unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and he commanded that something should be given her to eat." A wonderful story this morning of a father's faithfulness. We're going to look at that faithfulness this morning, and as Brother Kevin alluded to before, he's saying we're in an age and a time in our country when many fathers aren't present. And although the father may be there in the household, they're not there, literally, because they don't have that influence over their children. So we're going to look at that this morning. And although this sermon is directed at fathers in general, or in specific, the example and the points that I'm going to give you are not just for fathers, they're for all of us, because truly all of us, no matter who you are, be it a father, a mother, or even someone who doesn't have children, you have people who look up to you as an example and looked up to you to figure out how to live. So we're going to look at that this morning. First, let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us and this beautiful morning. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come out and to sing praises to your name and to open your word and see what you would have for us for this time. I thank you for all those who are here, and I pray, Father, that over the next few minutes that whatever is said and done will bring honor and glory to you, and that whatever I say would be your words and not my own. I thank you so much, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this is a day that our country has set aside to honor our fathers. And sadly, in our country today, we see that homes are ever increasing in number for being a fatherless home. And like I said, the father may be there, but he's not really there because he's kind of checked out, if you want to call it that. And we see there are so many statistics that you can look at. Of course, we often look at the divorce rate in our country is now pretty much 50%, meaning one in every two marriages will fail and end in divorce. And then when you factor in the divorces that have children into them, we see that, yes, it's sad because a husband and wife have lost that relationship, but then we look and see that the children that are affected by that are often, it's so tragic, and it's even more tragic than the relationship that was lost between the husband and wife. But we see that if you look at statistics, you can see that over the past 10 years, that teenagers in our country, the number of murders committed by teenagers in our country has risen from roughly 1,000 a year to over 4,000 per year. And you can see that in comparison to the number of homes that are on the rise for homes that where children are being raised without fathers. We can see that also over the last 30 years, there's been an increase some 550% in violent crime. And you could go on and on about statistics and things like that, but the fact is, most of it could be traced back to the children don't have that example in the home to look up to, that example on how to live. And like I said, this message not only applies to fathers, although it's specifically directed at fathers, it's directed to all of us, because even though I myself don't have children, there are still people that look up to me on how to live and look at me because of what we claim to be as far as Christians, and they look at us to see how we live and how we react to the situations that happen around us. Romans 14 and verse 12 says this, verse 12 and 13 says this, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." That verse simply means this. As I've already said, all of us have those that look up to us. You may not think that. You may not think that. You may think, well, you know, I'm not that important of a person. No one looks at me, and no one looks up to me on how to live. But truly, there are those around you, be it a neighbor, a coworker, whoever it may be, that looks to you because of what you may claim, and because they know you go to church, because they know you claim to be a Christian, they'll look at you, and especially when hard troubles come into your life, they'll say, well, you know, let's see how this person reacts to this. Let's see if their God gets them through this. That verse in Romans tells us that one day all of us will have to stand before God and give an account of how, not only how we lived our life, but the example that we set for those that are around us. We see that the responsibility of fathers and of parents is one that is very great. It's one when God blesses and gives that blessing to a parent of the birth of a child. It's not only is it a blessing, but with that comes great responsibility, because one day you as a parent will have to stand before God and answer for how you raised your child. We see that this father in this story in the book of Mark chapter 5, Jairus, like I said, most of us are familiar with this story. Jairus, we see, as the word tells us, was a ruler in the synagogue, and he had this young daughter who was very sick, and he knew that he had heard of this Jesus who had been traveling through his area, and he traveled to him because he knew that if anyone could help him, it was Jesus. And he asked Jesus to help his daughter. And of course, we see this other woman with the issue of blood. The story kind of plugs in here and into the middle of this. But we also see that after this, that the man continues to follow Jesus. And then, of course, we see that someone from his house, possibly one of his servants, comes to him and tells him, well, you know, it's no use anymore because your daughter's already dead. There's no use to trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Just come on home. And of course, we see that Jairus had the faith to stay the course. He had the faith to ask Jesus to come on to his house because he knew that if anyone could help him, it was Jesus. We see here that Jairus, we can find several different aspects from Jairus' life and this example that he's set for us on how to be a good father and how to be a good influence to those that are around us. If I were to give this sermon a title, I would just simply call it The Influence of a Faithful Man, because we can see truly his faith that he has in Jesus and the power of Jesus here. First of all, in verse 22, we can see from Jairus' example of how he approached Jesus. As I've already said, he was a ruler of the synagogue, and this means if you study into the text and study into the original text of the Bible, we can see that he was a primary official there in the synagogue who oversaw the business, and truly he had a major part in every service that was conducted there in the synagogue. He was responsible for making sure that everything was in order and was ready for the services. He would have been responsible for handling the Torah and calling on someone to read from the Torah. He possibly could have led worship every week. And he would have been responsible for keeping the building and the grounds in good order. And in many ways, if you look at what his title and what his status in the synagogue was, it would probably in today's time be comparable to what a pastor in our church does today. So we can see that he was a very influential man, a very powerful man in their local community in the synagogue there. And he was a man who had it all. You might say he was a man who was very blessed, very privileged, but yet at this time in his life, none of that mattered because his daughter was sick. And as we see, the word tells us that she was very sick. And of course, we see later on that she actually died. And he was a very religious man, as I've already said, but no matter how much religion or how much power he may have had there in his local community, none of that could have saved his daughter. We see if you look at this story from the account of the book of Luke, verse 23 in the book of Mark calls it his little daughter, but in Luke chapter 8, 42, we see that Luke calls it his one and only daughter. And we see that from this story that she was dying. Like I said, she was sick and dying, and truly nothing else mattered to him except getting his little daughter better and finding a cure for his little daughter. This powerful man, this prosperous man, this influential man was not ashamed to humble himself before God and seek God's help. And truly, as we see in verse 22 there in Mark chapter 5, he fell at his feet. And the word fell here, if you look at the original translation, it means to descend from a higher place to a lower place. He wasn't too ashamed to come to God and seek God's help. He came down from a very powerful place, a very powerful perch, to humble himself before God and just simply seek God's help because he knew that nothing else could help him. We see that this is an example that fathers and truly all of us should have, because you may be a very powerful person in your community, you may be very influential, but none of that can help you in a time of need. Only God can help you, and it takes that humble attitude, that attitude to come before God and no matter what other people may think about you, because truly I'm sure those that were around him looked at him and said, well, you know, here's this powerful man. Why is he making such a commotion? Why is he coming to God? Why is he bothering God? Why is he humbling himself and truly making himself look as foolish perhaps as he did. But he did this because he knew that was the only way that he could get help. Truly, as I've already said, we as Christians and especially as fathers, we have a responsibility. As a father, you have a responsibility to be the head of your household and the spiritual head of your household, because you have a responsibility to mainly to show your children the right way, the way to find God, the way to be saved, and the way to salvation. As brother Kevin mentioned, you know, I can look back and, like I already said, I'm thankful for the home that I was raised in, and I can look back and know my father and my grandfather. They aren't perfect people; they failed many times, but I can look back and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they raised me in a way that when I came of an age to know right from wrong, I knew how to be saved because of the example that they sent. Do your children or do those that are around you that you have influence over see in your life that you're not ashamed to come to Christ in your time of trouble? First, we can see from Jairus' example of how he approached Jesus. Next, we can also see in verse 23 of how he appealed to Jesus. Verse 23 tells us that he besought him greatly. You see, he was well aware that although he was a very wealthy, although he was a very powerful man, none of that could do any good in healing his daughter. He knew that his social position and his power could give him access to all the social circles in town and truly probably some of the best physicians of the time. But he knew none of that could help. He knew that the only way he could heal and get his daughter well was to come to Jesus. If you look at the name Jairus and the translation of what that name means, it means he whom God enlightens. Truly, he had an enlightenment from God because he, although he was very powerful, he knew the way to get help for his daughter. And we see that he appealed to Jesus. He besought him greatly. Like I said earlier, he humbled himself and fell before Jesus to seek help for his daughter. Truly, one of the greatest gifts that you can give your children is the gift of prayer and praying for them. It's also the gift of faith. And truly, as I've already said, the gift of teaching them the right way, teaching them the right path of how to find Jesus. As Brother Kevin said, you know, when you're a little kid and your parents wake you up on Sunday morning early to drag you to church, you might complain and might mumble and grumble. But if you look back on that at a later time in life, you can be so thankful for that example that was set. Truly, do your children see around you that and see you worshiping in church? Do they see a person who's not ashamed to share the gospel to those that are around them? Do they see a person who's not ashamed to worship God openly? Micah 6:8 says this, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." That is the example that we are to set to not only our children, but those that are around us. Children around us can see our devotion to the Lord lived out daily, and they must see us trusting in Him, walking with Him, and looking to Him for not only the good things and worshiping in Him, but also in times of trouble. We can see from Jairus' example of how he approached Jesus, how he appealed to Jesus. We can also see how he associated with Jesus. Later on in this story, we see that when he came to Jesus, he told the Lord of his great need. He had one thing on his mind, getting Jesus back to his daughter and getting healing for his daughter. We see later on that one of his servants comes to him and tells him, as I've already said, you know, don't worry, don't trouble the master anymore. It's too late. Your daughter's already dead. Just come on back home. But we see that he didn't give up. In verse 38, it says that he continued to invite Jesus to his home because he knew that although those around him were telling him it was too late, we can see that he had faith enough to believe that with Jesus it wasn't too late. Truly, for us today, it's easy for us to perhaps come to church when it's convenient. It's easy for us to tell those around us that, yeah, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. But when the times get tough and the times get rough and those troubles come upon us, do those that are around us, and especially our children, do those that are around us see us having that faith to trust in Jesus that he'll get us through those times? You know, it's many times the storms of life that come can look so bleak. But yet, if we have the faith that Jesus can get us through those, then those that are around us, how great of an example that is to those that are around us. We see that, of course, Jesus came with Jairus to his home. And of course, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, it says, you know, Jesus simply tells them that are there, that are gathered around him, you know, why are you crying for this little girl? She's not dead, she's just asleep. And truly, as I said, those that were there had already given up. They'd already given up hope. They'd sent the messenger to Jairus to tell him to come home because it was over. It was done. But he didn't give up, and he had faith. He had faith to believe that Jesus could heal her. Proverbs 22:6 says this, a familiar verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Truly, as fathers, as parents, you have a mission. You have a mission from God to train your children in the ways of Christ. And it's never too early to start, because as this verse says, when they're young, you can train them in the ways of Christ, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But we see that we can find an example of not only of how to live and how to be an example, but we see that we can find that example from Jairus of how he approached the Savior. We see of how he appealed to him, how he associated with him. He invited him into his home. As I said, many homes today are not only missing a father, but they're missing that godly example of Jesus, because Jesus hasn't been invited into their home. You know, there's things that are distracting in the home, be it times that are spent watching television or whatever it may be, and that time of worship as a family isn't present anymore in our homes today. And today, you know, as I said, this brief sermon has been mainly directed at fathers, but as those who are walking the walk daily, this example that Jairus set for us on how we are to live a life of an example to those that are around us can be applied to all of our lives. Truly, I don't feel that any message or any service is complete without some sort of invitation. You may be here today and you may say, well, you know, I don't have any children. This message hasn't really been applicable to me. But as I already said, regardless of who you are, you have people around you who are looking at how you respond to things that happen to you. They're looking at how you live your life on a daily basis. And there's an old song that we used to sing at my home church that said, simply basically said that your life's a book before their eyes. You know, some people will never step foot in a church, they'll never open a Bible, but they look to you as the example, and that example of how to live, of how to find Christ. You may never say a word to them, but your life is a testimony far greater than any words that you could ever tell. You may be here today and you may say, well, you know, that's all good and well. The songs that were sung this morning of being happy in Christ, of finding an eternal home in heaven, is all good and well, but, you know, I don't really know what you're talking about. On Father's Day, you know, it's how great of a time it would be to accept that free gift of salvation that has been so graciously given to us by the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood on a cross, a free sacrifice. It's open there. It's there. All we have to do is to have faith to accept it. Maybe you didn't have that father growing up, that good example. Maybe you didn't even know your father growing up. There's a Heavenly Father that we've sung about, that we've talked about this morning, that is there with arms wide open. I spoke on the prodigal son a while back here, and that story of that father there who didn't give up on his children, who, although his son was away, although his son had basically denied everything about him, he was standing there with open arms, ready to welcome him home. Our Heavenly Father is standing now with open arms, ready to welcome you into the family of God. You may say, well, you know, that's all good and well, but I don't really know how. I don't really know how to accept him, to seek one of us out this morning. I do truly believe, as I've said here many times before, that time is drawing to an end. You can look at the Bible and the things that are given to us of signs of the end times, of things that are to come before Christ's return, and I truly believe that it could be any day now. He could come before we leave here this morning. How great it would be to be called into the portals of glory on such a beautiful day and to be welcomed into his presence. So I urge you today, if you haven't accepted him, do that today before it's too late. If you're here this morning and you say, well, you know, I haven't been that godly example to my children or to those that are around me, it's not too late. You may say, well, my children are grown. It's not too late. You can get things right with God and get things right with your children today if you simply seek him and humble yourself before him. Brother Kim.